Hello everyone, my name is Philippe and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that you talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And for today's episode, in the next few episodes, I'm gonna talk about PEFT, a parameter efficient fine-tuning. And today I'm gonna talk about LoRa and QLoRa. And I'm gonna talk about PEFT because I think it's very important to know the advancements that are being done in this field. Like LoRa and QLoRa, I mentioned multiple times in this podcast, but I never took the time to really explain how it works. So today I'm gonna explain LoRa and QLoRa. We're gonna talk a lot about memory efficiency and inference time efficiency during this series of PEFT. So I think it will be very nice for you guys to better understand this. For QLoRa especially, I won't go that deep into the paper because like we are talking about bits and it's almost impossible to explain it in a podcast. But I'm gonna put a video from AI Bytes in the end so you guys can also check. It also helped me understanding how it works. So let's start with LoRa. But before starting with LoRa, we need to understand what is the problem of fine-tuning a full model. So let's take like a Llama 70B. Just to instantiate the model and perform inference, you're gonna need 800 GPUs. And 800 GPUs has 80 gigabytes memory. So if you take 8 of those, you have 640 gigabytes of memory to perform inference. If you want to train this model, to fine-tune this model, you're gonna need way more because you need more GPUs to perform the gradient flow. So like based when you train a model, you compute the loss, and based on those laws, you're gonna have the gradients to update each weight, and the gradients, it takes a lot of memory. So you need a lot of GPUs to do this, and this is not possible for a normal human. Like just a few organizations have access to these GPUs. Even small startups, they don't have access, and like normal people, not at all. So LoRa comes with a possibility to train those models with way less memory, and QLoRa with even less memory. So what is LoRa? Before understanding LoRa, we need to know what are the weights that we can update in a large language model. So we have a 6 main matrices in the transformer architecture. That is a WQ, WV, WK, and WO. So WQ for the query, WV for the value, WK for the key, and WO for the output projection in the end. So basically, so query, key, and value are the weights for the self-attention. But as we don't use self-attention, we use multi-head self-attention. That basically gonna change the dimension. So like we compute multiple heads and then we need to project back in the previous dimension. So that's why we need the output projection. But for the computation that I'm gonna do in this episode, I'm gonna say that we only have one head, so it's gonna be easier. So we have those four for the self-attention, and we have other two for the feed-forward network. So it's basically an MLP. So we have the weights of the first layer of the NLP. So basically going from the input to the hiding state, and then the second one that is going from the hiding state to the output. So it's an MLP, a multi-layer perceptron of one hiding state. And what does LoRa propose? Instead of fine-tuning every single parameter of the network, we're gonna have a low-rank matrix. So basically, LoRa stands for low-rank adapter. So we're gonna have a low-rank matrix that we're gonna use as an adapter to instead of fine-tuning. So basically, we're gonna freeze all the parameters of the network, and we're gonna fine-tune, we're gonna train only this adapter. And what is this adapter? It's basically two matrices, A and B. So you can see it as a multi-layer perceptron. A going to R and R going to B. So there are these two matrices, and R is a low rank matrix, which means that it's like a lower dimension. So you basically, like if you say R equals 1, you go from A to 1 and 1 to B, and B normally it's equals A. So yeah, let's understand this with numbers. So let's take Mistral as an example. So in Mistral, we have D, that is the dimension of the spaces, as 4K, and we have H, that is the hidden layer of the multi-layer perceptron of the feed-forward network, as 14K. Like I'm rounding those values, but what matters is the math behind. So for the K, Q, and V, we have D squared as number of parameters for each one of those. So we have approximately 16 million parameters for each K, Q, and V. If we take a LoRa with a rank equals 1, we're gonna have only 8,000 parameters instead of 16 million. But normally we don't use a rank equals 1. So I took here tier like 32 as a rank, and that is something that sometimes we use. And for a rank equals 32, we're gonna have 256,000 parameters. So it's 1.5% on the original number of parameters from the Q query and value. So you're saving 98.5% of the total parameters that we would optimize. And now let's take the multi-layer perceptron, the fit for network. So to optimize a fit for network, it's basically 2 times D times H. That for the Mistral, it's approximately 117 million parameters. If we take a LoRa of rank equals 1, we're gonna have 37,000 parameters, so way less. But if we take like something that we usually use, such as rank equals 32, we're gonna take roughly 1.1 million parameters. That is approximately 1% of the original number of parameters, which means that we decrease a lot the number of parameters. So we are reducing hugely the amount of memory that we need to fine tune this model. And then when you deploy this model to perform inference, it's basically 101% of the memory. So basically it doesn't change anything. On inference time, it doesn't change almost anything either. Like it's 1% more memory, 1% more inference time, which doesn't change anything in practice. While for training, that is a very tough problem, we're gonna decrease a lot the memory footprint, so we will be able to train with less GPUs. But still, it is not possible to train like for a normal person, because you're gonna need still some GPUs to instantiate the model and to perform the fine tuning. So QLoRa solved this problem. But just before talking about QLoRa, an important parameter that we have for the LoRa model is the alpha. Basically, the alpha, you can see it as a scaling. So the scaling of the model is alpha divided by R, where R is the rank. So the alpha parameter is what gonna say how much, because you compute the adapter, so like the AB, and the output of AB, you're gonna merge with the traditional model during training is frozen. And this scaling is saying how much this adapter should be taken into account. So if you use alpha equals R, the scaling gonna be 1, because alpha divided by R, like if both are the same, you're gonna have 1. And then it means that you're using both the adapter and the original model with the same importance. If you take like alpha 2 times R, so like R equals 32 and alpha equals 64, it means that the adapter is more important than the original weights of the model. So this is a parameter, a hyperparameter that you can also play. And from what I studied and from what you're using, people normally use alpha between like the scaling will be 1 or 2. So alpha will be like R, or between R and 2 times R. You can also try less, it depends on your problem. So this is basically LoRa. And then we go for QLoRa. QLoRa, it's exactly the same as LoRa. So like they don't propose any change on LoRa. They basically propose a change in the bits. So on LoRa and on traditional large language models, you have a FP16. So you have a 16 bits to represent the information. And how to count bits, like it's 2 in the power of 16. So you have a lot of different values in the floating point. So what are those floating points? The weights are floating points. So on the weights, like the floating point is 0.12345. And this is representing your weight. So if you decrease the amount of floating points, you lose precision of what you're doing. So instead of 16 floating points, you have 8. You have less precision to represent the weight. If you go from 8 to 4, you have less precision. So in FP16, you're gonna have 2 in the power of 16 possibilities, so a lot. In the QLoRa paper, they propose a 4-bit approach, which you're only gonna have 16 possibilities. So you lose a lot of precision on this. But they propose something very interesting in this paper. Normally, when you pass from 16 bits to 4 bits, what happens is you're gonna have an uniform distribution. So if you go from -1 to 1, you're basically gonna have an interval of 0.125. So you're gonna have -1, -8.75, -0.75, and so on. So always when you quantize something, when you decrease the amount of bits, you're gonna lose precision. So when I'm saying that between -1 and 0.875, this is the quantized, everything in between gonna be exactly the same in the quantized version. So this is, of course, is a problem. And what they do to decrease the problem of precision that they lose is that they use a normal float. Why? So we all know, it's been a while, that the weights of a neural network, they are represented in a normal distribution between 0 and 1. So like it's centered on 0. So what they did is that they used the fact that the weights are distributed in a normal distribution centered on 0, and they propose a normal float quantization. That is, the values, because when you have a normal distribution close to the mean value, which means like close to 0, you're gonna have a higher density density of points being there. While if you take the tail and the head of the distribution, so like the extreme right and the extreme left of the distribution, you're going to have way less values. So they use this information to propose a quantization. So in the middle, you're going to have more points instead of just an uniform distribution. So like between minus 1 and 1, you're going to have something between minus 1 and, I don't know, minus 0.7, and then minus 0.7 to minus 0.4. And then between minus 0.4 and 0, you're going to have 6 different points, because the chance of the floating points of the weights being going to there, it's higher. So you're going to have a better precision on those than you need to have in the extreme values. So this is the 4-bit normal float. They also propose a double quantization and paged optimizer. I won't go that deep into both, but basically double quantization is a method that quantizes the quantization constant. When you quantize something, you have a constant. And what they are saying on double quantization is that they're also quantizing the constant. And the goal is to save the most memory we can. So they say that they are saving about 0.37 bits per parameter. So they made some math in the paper. And normally you have 0.5 bits per parameter. And with double quantization, you can decrease 0.37. So instead of 0.5, you're only going to have 0.13 bits per parameter. And like their goal is to squeeze the most they can to optimize the memory of this model and the LoRa too. So yeah, apparently it's good. And also they propose the paged optimizer that is an optimization in the GPU level regarding the gradient checkpoints. I won't go deep into this, but I can also share a video from AI Bytes, as I said in the beginning, explaining better the QLoRa paper. And I also interviewed the AI Bytes guy. He's very nice. And like, what about the practice usage? So what is important also from QLoRa is the fact that like they are not only proposing this for the LoRa optimizer, but they are also enabling us to load the full large language model in a 4-bit quantization. So we decrease a lot the memory consumption of the model itself. So we are able to run the model in locally in our computers. And you are also able to train the model using QLoRa in a single GPU. So this is huge, because when a small startups or even like normal people, they want to train their models, they are able to do so in a single GPU having similar performance. I didn't mention about the results, but basically the results of LoRa and QLoRa are, LoRa, it's almost the same of full fine tuning, and QLoRa is almost the same of LoRa. So like almost the same is like pretty much the same. So yeah, doing QLoRa and doing full fine tuning doesn't change that much. Of course it's not the same, but doesn't change that much. And for normal use cases that you're gonna have as like person, and that small companies gonna have, like small startups, 1% performance won't change their life. But the fact that they're able to train this model 1,000 times faster and 1,000 times with cheaper, this is a game changer. And this is what LoRa and QLoRa are providing us. And also in practice, important to know that like in practice, you don't need to know any of this. You can just use Hugging Face. Hugging Face has LoRa coded in the PEFT library. And they also have a bits and bytes library that allow to load the model in 4-bit to fine tune LoRa using also 4-bit, so QLoRa. And in practice, a lot of people pretty much everybody uses QLoRa to fine tune their models. At Cantev, we use QLoRa to fine tune model too. So, and it works very well. So yeah, that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode. It was a bit more technical, and I think it's going to be nice to do this series of parameter efficient fine tuning, because you guys going to understand what is being used in practice, and everybody is using this kind of stuff. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to follow the podcast on social media. Also, don't forget to share the podcast with your friends, like people that you think may be useful to listen to it. And on Instagram, we are podcast.lifewithai. On LinkedIn, we are Life with AI. And that's it, guys. Goodbye.